I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen.
Yes, oh my god, what an exciting moment. It's a Nothing But Netflix Hot Dummies on Islands crossover event as we kick off a new season of Too Hot to Handle. First, let me welcome in my co-host for Nothing But Netflix, always Too Hot to Handle. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
No, Rob, I'm Mario Lopez.
Wait, hold on.
Yes, it's me. How'd you know?
Yeah, I thought this was supposed to be a Real Love Boat recap. Where's Jenny Autumn here?
No. It's Mario Lopez. I had to legitimize this show so everyone would believe we were talking about something completely different. But I guess we can talk about Too Hot to Handle, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Wait, hold on. I thought this was hosted by Mario Fourth, Amari's Irish cousin. Yes.
Nope. Just Mario Lopez. Yes. Her not Hispanic cousin.
No relation.
Yes.
No relation at all.
Okay. All right. And of course, the queen of Hot Dummies on Islands is back here for another go round of Too Hot to Handle. Please welcome in my co-host from the Real Love Boat. It's Kirsten McKinnis. Kirsten, how are you?
Rob, I'm so excited to talk about Wild Love, the show that harnesses the power of adrenaline to fall in love more intensely than ever.
Real quick, would that have been a better show than Too Hot to Handle?
No, it would have been so stupid, but I would have watched it.
Yeah. I said on the Real Love Boat recap, I'm tired of watching people bungee jump on reality shows, and it would have been more of the same.
Basically, they said time to skydive.
Yeah. Kirsten, the Wild Love, is that basically the Real Love Boat?
No, but like maybe that one episode with the bungee jumping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
On the Real Love Boat, do they fall in love harder and faster and more intensely than you've ever done before?
I'd say one contestant, maybe.
Sometimes. Oh. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe a little too intensely.
So here we are to talk about, Kirsten, can you believe it? The fourth go round of Too Hot to Handle.
Rob, we talked about the premiere of, or the first couple episodes of season one of Too Hot to Handle at the start of lockdown in 2020. Mm-hmm. And now we are on the fourth season.
Yeah. And time flies because I feel like it's been just about a year since the three of us got together to talk about The Princess Switch 3 on Netflix.
Yes, I watched The Princess Switch 3 last night and I think it's in my top 10 movies of all time. And I tweeted it and I'm proud of that take.
Blink twice if you're being, you know, held hostage. Why are you watching this movie again? We already did it. We don't have to do it again, Kirsten. It's fine.
Because I like it. I've watched all three of them, Kirsten, in the past couple of weeks with my boyfriend.
Kirsten, we're not recording. You don't have
and
to
And he
lie.
Said he okay. likes them too.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I love Josh. He's such a liar.
Mm-hmm. He's not a liar.
Yeah. Well, the three of us got together. I think it must have been in the spring for Too Hot to Handle season three. Kirsten, yes. Could you remind us any things that happened in Too Hot to Handle season three?
Oh, wow. Too Hot to Handle season three. No.
The names of any contestants.
The thing is that I watch these shows and I cover these shows and then I move on to the next island with Hot Dummies. And if I'm going to have any useful knowledge in my brain, I have to just flush it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you ask me about Love Island.
Keep the pipes clean.
Like I've got to like defrag my computer up here. And when I do that, I lose some stuff. That was a really old reference, but I've aged myself immensely.
Hey, I got it. Maybe if you're a Mac person.
Oh, man.
Kirsten McInnes. Yeah.
The youths are going to be like, what is she talking about? And listen, computers were real rough in the early 2000s.
Yep. Chappelle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm shocked that we're talking about this again. You know, y'all have been talking about Too Hot to Handle since before I was a podcaster.
Yeah,
you know, the BC era before Chappelle, it happened, and it's real.
I hate the before Chappelle era,
the dark ages of RHAP.
Yeah,
or not as dark. It's dark now.
I was just going to make a similar joke and then was like, wait, I don't think I should.
I stepped in for you. It's fine. Mm-hmm.
So we're ready to talk about this fourth iteration of the Too Hot to Handle. Chappelle, how big of a fan of the Too Hot to Handle franchise are you? Do you enjoy it?
I watch it when Kirsten tells me to watch it and then I don't watch it again. You know, like, I'll get through like the first couple episodes when it's fun and like they're like, oh, I'm breaking rules. But then when they like start to get serious and really start getting annoyed at people for breaking rules and we're trying to see who's going to win, I'm like, I'm out. Like the last episode, I'm pretty sure I've never watched the finale of the show except for the time I podcasted about it. I said, again, when Kirsten tells me to, I'll check it out.
You finished a season and once again, Rob is banned from listening to that podcast.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I forgot that. About I gotta that one. No.
Yeah. No, you're not allowed, yeah. Rob.
But Kirsten, I feel like that the Too Hot to Handle seasons are really like, they come in and it's so fun and, you know, everybody likes this idea, but then they really try to make it seem like that this is a learning show.
So that's the problem with every love show, except for Temptation Island, is that they're like, okay, well, you're going to learn. So the start is always really messy and fun, which is what we want. And then at the end, it's like, oh, we're in love and we've grown as people. I don't care about people growing as people. That's not why I watch a show called Too Hot to Handle. But they just can't seem to figure out the landing. And I'm curious to know if anything has changed with the rest of season four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of feel like that. I don't know why all these shows have to like slant like so like puritanical of like, like come in for hedonism. But by the end of this, we'll treat you or teach you that like being in a like monogamous relationship that is only you're focused on your partner. That's the only way to go.
Yeah. And
we're going to break these people.
I think what they need to realize is that we like the start of Too Hot to Handle because we like seeing people suffer. We like seeing stupid people get punished for their stupidity. And then we like to laugh. We don't really care if the people we're watching grow as people. Like, none of us are watching reality TV because we want to see, like, just like the best person possible at the end of the season. We want to watch these shows for the mess, for the fun. And I don't really care. I don't really care what else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But seems like that's ultimately where we're going with the help of Lana, the TV's most famous air freshener.
She came out of a limo with smoke and she was levitating and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw her levitating. I was really impressed by that because I was like, I didn't know Lana had so many skills. Like normally she just kind of pops up out of like a little hidden jar or something like that or out of a table. But this time she had a whole limo entrance and everything. Like they're really stepping it up for season four.
They literally had a plane and Mario Lopez. Yeah. What?
Okay, so for people who didn't watch the premiere of Too Hot to Handle, okay, and just dropped here on Netflix, in the premiere of Too Hot to Handle season four, they have really upped the ante with the fake show that they are tricking people allegedly into thinking that they are going to be on. It is a show called Wild Love that is allegedly hosted by Mario Lopez, and he is going to be there and getting everybody ready to compete in this like adrenaline fueled dating show when Lana, the air freshener, pops up and everybody instantly knows that they have been had and what they are on. I maintain this is until my dying breath. Every single person on this show knew that they were going on Too Hot to Handle season four. No one, no normal human being would recognize the Too Hot to Handle air freshener, Lana. Well, if you went out into Times Square and showed people that thing, that if you showed 100 people, zero would recognize what that thing was and know that that is the mascot of Too Hot to Handle. These people instantly know what they're, where they are, what this is, that the rules of Too Hot to Handle, like that it is the most well-known show in all of television. This is Fugazi, Kirsten.
So, okay, here's the thing. I think I've gotten dumber because I actually believe that they got people this time, and I think I figured out how they do it. So I think when they're in sequester for the show, they just give them a bunch of Netflix love shows to watch. They've got Love is Blind. They've got Too Hot to Handle. They've got Singles Inferno. They've got Dated and Related. They get all the Netflix shows to watch, and that's how some of them know who Lana is. Because this time, everyone was just kind of like, oh, no, what is this? And then Sophie was like, it's Too Hot to Handle. And I was like, okay, I kind of believe it this time.
Chappelle, where do you come down on this?
No, Kirsten's making good points. Like, I'm pretty sure they have like a list of reality shows that they're familiar with, and then some that they're not as familiar with. Too Hot to Handle probably being on that not as familiar list. And then when they see Lana, they're like, oh, wait, I know this one. This is Too Hot to Handle. Oh, God, not the one that I skipped because it was about us not having sex. I definitely didn't watch that show. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they know the premise and they know it exists. But I think they really do a good job of convincing them that no. Even though you know Too Hot to Handle like exists, this is definitely 100% not that show. That's why we brought in Mario Lopez. Would he be on Too Hot to Handle? No.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is Too Hot to Handle is all of these people's greatest fear, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I feel like they are aware of it, and they're just like choosing to believe that that couldn't be what it is.
They disassociate from it. Like, they see the words like, you cannot have sex on this show, and they're just like, preposterous. I would never watch this. Like, that could never be me.
And like, then, that is irrelevant to me.
Right. Okay, not my business. Yeah. And so, you know, that's how they end up in these moments, Rob.
And my theory on this is that all of these people are either established influencers or aspiring influencers. They know that going on this show is going to help enhance their Instagram following. And so they are all willing participants here in Too Hot to Handle.
Okay. Well, do we know of the careers of these particular people on the cast? I haven't actually looked into that, Rob, but I'm sure you're not wrong. I'm sure most of them are either models or mattresses.
For instance, Britain has 120,000 Instagram followers coming in to Too Hot to Handle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, listen, the thing is all of these influencers would go on any Netflix show for attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Like, it could have been any show. Like, you're right. I still think if they're influencers, Rob, you could have told them they were going on Sexy Beast and they still would have showed up, you know? And so maybe they were like switched out. What if they were really on Sexy Beast? Wouldn't that be funnier?
I'll suspend disbelief. Okay. I won't bring this up again. Yeah. It's just something that bothers me that I feel like that, Kirsten, I don't like being lied to from the show.
I know. But I'm sorry that I maybe have gotten dumber because I actually kind of believed it this time. Like, if someone like messaged me that was on production, I was like, no, they knew. I'd be like, okay, yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. But
we'll suspend disbelief for tonight.
I believed it a little bit more this time than I would normally believe it. Okay, I'm looking at the followers of the rest of the people on this cast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kayla has 25K, I believe.
Yeah.
Dominique has 5,800. Creed has 34,000.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I got those.
Yeah. You know what's more fascinating is that we don't know these people exist. They are more famous than the show Too Hot to Handle, and we're just like, who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're surprised that these people have 30,000 followers means that we're really old or we're living in a bubble.
Okay.
Now, with influencer culture, it's just, if they're not in your specific window of influencer, you wouldn't see them.
I wonder what's in my influence.
Yeah, what's in your circle of influence, Chappelle?
Probably just Rob. It's you. Mm-hmm. You and Kirsten. Y'all are both reality TV stars. Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
All right.
Famous friends.
Should we talk through the people that we meet here on Too Hot to Handle and describe
them? Yes.
Okay. All right, Kirsten, where do you want to start?
Should we just go in the order that they come in the villa? Because that's the order of my notes.
Okay, great. All right, so let's welcome in Britton and Dominique.
Yes. So Dominique's from Colorado and is a software engineer, allegedly. she says that men are scared of her and that she likes big dick energy and also has big dick energy.
Yes.
And I am afraid of her. You know,
and in love with her, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. Yeah,
but you like Jowie here better, don't you?
We could talk about it.
Dominique comes in. She says she's the sexiest nerd you're ever going to meet. I think this is the only time we hear from her in the entire episode up until we see her again, like at lockdown, where they basically tell her that the twist for the show. She has no screen time.
The main problem with this premiere is that all of the men were interested in the same woman. So we did not get to really know many of the women.
Let me give you my prediction. Dominique, she's the first person that Lana votes out. You know, this show.
No, she's going to follow the rules because no one wants to hook up with
her. This, Chappelle, this show is about entrapment. They tell people like, hey, these are the rules. Nobody break the rules. And if you break the rules, then they're like, oh, you're not supposed to break the rules. But if you're like, okay, I understand the rules. I'm going to abide by the rules. Get out of here, loser.
Yeah. The goal is to break the rules early on and then to establish a growth narrative so that you can win. Because the people who win the show in the past, we've seen the person who lost the most amount of money end up winning the show because they learned so much and they grew. And, you know, the whole Netflix model of the, like, they started off filthy, but by the end, they found true love and they learned a lot about themselves. And so, yeah, if Dominique is planning on staying in this game, she definitely needs to break some rules early on, but then she needs to settle down with somebody. The problem is everybody's in love with the same person already.
She's too smart for this show. I think she's the first person they get rid of.
I hope she's smart enough to game the system and win. You know, like, let's give her some twisted here.
Listen, I hope she knew that this was too hot to handle and that she listened to our past season of podcast where we laid out the winning strategy for too hot to handle. So she comes in with Britton, who's from Hawaii.
Kirsten,
and
have you published your rules for the why blank lost the too hot to handle yet?
I think that too hot to handle is more of an emotion and a physical game. I don't think that my rules would.
It's rule number three.
Well. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think you and David Bloomberg could host a really good podcast about why some of these people end up losing this season.
I think that it would be best for everyone if David Bloomberg never knew this show existed.
We'll watch to see if the TikToks are happening this week.
Yeah. He's going to drop them real quick.
So. Okay, Britton said something. So she said a couple of things in her intro. She says, first of all, she says, I do not believe in slut shaming. It used to be a problem if you were a slut, but now you're an icon, which I was like, okay. It's giving. I like that. But then she goes, well, some people are addicted to Adderall and some people are addicted to tobacco. I'm just addicted to sex. As if a sex addiction is not like a very serious thing.
Yeah, she's minimizing the fact that this woman needs help. She needs therapy.
Like, ma'am.
Ma'am, this is not where you need to be. I thought they did mental health screenings for somebody. You don't send addicts on the reality TV. We've seen this before.
Well, no. You take a psych assessment. You do not have to pass it. That's very clear.
Yeah.
Check the boxes.
Yeah.
And she once got the ick because a man said he would make love to her.
Yes. No, that was
she
a big
almost
turn-off.
Vomited.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the ick. She was sick to her stomach. Like, completely. He looked her dead in the eyes and she wanted to throw up. Also, we haven't really talked about her, but her name is Britton, but spelled like, you know, not like the country, but spelled better, you know?
Yes. Brittan.
Yeah.
Brittan.
Better than the country. I mean, she's making a point. Brittan sounds better than what, you know, Britain.
It is a pretty cool name.
We've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brittan.
Yeah.
I'm curious if that's her real name.
But, no, okay. It. She says, don't say I'm going to make love to you. Okay. So wrote that in my notebook.
Write that down, men.
Sorry, boys to men.
I mean, it is the least sexy song of all time. Like, boys, I'll make love to you. Like, that's how you know there's a bunch of church boys.
Yeah.
Like,
explain, everybody Chappelle. Else.
Sex songs be filthy sometimes, and they're just like, no, I'll make love to you. Like, oh, thank you.
Like, you want me to.
Right. Like, look,
Britton does not want them to.
Yeah. Britton doesn't like an attentive lover, you know?
Ew, who wants to have sex? That's not what she said.
That is what she said.
No,
and so, boys to men, count your fucking days.
I mean, I think boys to men days are long gone.
How dare you? There's a residency in Vegas, goddammit.
They're men now, okay? They're not boys. Yeah,
they're men now.
You think that the journey has been completed, Chappelle? Is that what you're saying?
I think
mission accomplished?
I think it never started. I'm sorry. There are just better songs than I'll Make Love to You. I died on that hill.
I mean, I think everyone can agree with that.
These are hot takes on this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Chappelle's like, count your fucking days. Boys and men.
We're trying to get them out of here since 95. So what other bootylicious bombshells do we have, Kirsten?
Oh, man. So Creed comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's from Australia.
Nobody likes this guy.
He is the blondest adult I've ever seen in my life. Like, man, you don't see that every day. He says he can't live without female company and that he grew up in a beauty salon learning how to spray tan women. And so he talks very much about how you can get them to like lift up their boobs so you can spray the under boob situation. Mm-hmm. And then says he has the nerdy card, which we've seen no evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And that he will play the mama's boy card if they're into that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think anyone is into the mama's boy card. Like, people want you to like be nice to your mom, but they don't want you to be in a mama's boy.
Mama's man.
Mama's man.
Mama's boy is to men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Kristen, he also mentioned that he has a great pair of budgie smugglers.
Yeah, I chose not to perceive that because I was confused.
Yes. Okay. Oh, well, a budgie smuggler, for anyone who does not know already, in case you're not one of our Australian listeners, that it is a reference to a man's tight-fitting swimming costume or a swimsuit appearing as if he has a budgerigar concealed in it.
So it's just a speedo.
His bulging genitals.
Yeah.
I don't think that Creed has those.
I wasn't paying attention, but I do know that if he has a like speedo, then that would be par for the course for something like this show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with bringing a speedo on a reality show.
That's what I've heard, Rob.
I think everyone should. Mm-hmm. At least for the shows I cover. Mm-hmm. So then we get the star of the show. And I do not think production knew what they had with this woman because she would have been either the first or the last one out if they had known what was coming. They brought her in the middle. Her name is Kayla. She's from LA. She has a tattoo all the way down her spine. Mm-hmm. She shows you how to take the perfect selfie.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah.
Can I ask you about Kayla here? Because look, Kayla, very attractive woman. Okay. It goes without saying or saying, but I don't know. Maybe I'm missing. Why was the Chappelle? Why was there such a disparity between the men acted like, okay, Kayla is the only attractive woman here, and she was so like head and shoulders above the rest of the field. And I didn't necessarily get that there was like only Kayla and not everybody else. I'm trying not to, offend Kayla here, but what am I missing?
She's got the it factor. I mean, she walks in, and before she even introduces herself,
is it pheromones?
I think so.
I have it in my notes. Kayla must smell amazing.
Yeah, she walks in, and before she even introduces herself, like, good, Creed says immediately, he's like, how many tattoos do you have? Would you like some champagne? He's like, hi, my name is Kayla. How are you? You know, they don't even get into her package first before he already starts to ask about her and stuff. He was that attracted to her. And so, yeah, she knows how to take the perfect selfie. She kind of looks like Mariah Carey if you ask the right person. And she loves to play the game. And that's great for production because the game is going to be surrounding her the entire first episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about Kayla.
And like, I know it's not to say that Kayla's not extremely beautiful. She is. Everyone on the show is extremely beautiful.
That's what we thought.
And Nick. But she is just, she has that it factor. Like, she must smell incredible. She must just have the most amazing presence because that, I feel like that has to be the case anytime you see someone on these shows and you're like, I get it. Like, they're hot, but I don't understand why they're getting all of this attention.
It's the charisma. Yeah, you know, it's just like she just walked in the room and demanded attention. And when I say demanded attention, nobody else ever gets attention at any point. Like, you talk about Dominique not having a lot of screen time, but literally no one else did. If you are a woman on this show and your name is not Kayla, we barely saw you in the first episode.
Hey, Jawahir got some attention.
Jawahir, I got screen time.
Yeah, the most attention was, hey, she really likes a guy who likes Kayla. you know, like, so
yeah, okay, fair, listen, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, are you saying that Too Hot to Handle does not pass the Bechdel test?
There, it was never in question that it might.
It's the anti-Bechdel.
Like, the best chance that this show has of passing the Bechdel test is like two people getting ready and they are talking about the products they used to get ready versus the men that they're hoping to see. Like, that's the best case scenario here. Which is fine. You know what? Not everything has to be perfect.
Right. Women can just talk about men sometimes. It's okay.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about two more guys that show up here on Too Hot to Handle. We have James, who's at, who's going to give us a lot, and Nick. Okay, Kirsten, why don't you start with Nick?
Nick might be one of the worst men in America. Britain says that his necklace is a spiritual vibe and asks if he uses that sexually. Yeah. And Nick says that he is a model, artist, and yogi. So don't put him in a box when he literally put himself in a clear box.
I'm about to put Nick in a box. They always...
Jail. I would love to put him in jail.
Jail. They always put this guy on Too Hot to Handle and it never works. There's always like, oh, I'm like the really deep hippie yoga guy. And, you know, I'm here to have like a tantric relationship with, and it works like in the outside world. I think the one thing I remember, Kirsten, in Too Hot to Handle season 3, This same archetype, he had a guitar, right? And he sang a song to a woman.
Yes. I was thinking more the guy on season 1 who was from Colorado and definitely lived in a van. Normally this character has long hair and Nick doesn't.
Sometimes they just quit the show because no women are ever interested in them. Sometimes they end up like sticking around and then like jumping on board with like one of the grenades when they come in. I don't mean to say grenade.
I do think they call them something along those lines in this show, like which is absolutely wild.
When they bring in like the second batch of women and they're just looking for anybody to stay on the show with, Chappelle, it never works.
No, they put their Nick in a box, you know, and it happens every time, you know. So this person, I don't think they're long for the show because they're only going to have eyes for one person and they're going to want to be with that person all the time. And that's not what the early stages of the show is about. Now, if this person ever makes it far into the show, they might win because they're only going to be obsessed with that one person. And that's how you win at the end. But in the beginning, you kind of have to be entertaining to stay on the show. You have to either break some rules or be like really playing the field. And I just don't see that for Nick. So he might stay in the box this time.
This man is not attractive to me. Like, I know, I'm sure he's someone's type because he got onto Too Hot to Handle, but I'm just like not interested in him. I think I don't like when men wear a lot of necklaces. It weirds me out. I don't.
And bad news for Mr. T.
In his cast photo, he's doing like the hand rubbing thing like Kevin did in Big BB Can 10.
Oh,
like,
and it worked for him.
I think it's a different skill set for Big Brother and Too Hot to Handle. Yeah. He's horrible. I can't wait for him to be off my screen. I don't like him.
Yeah. Kirsten, so Nick also said that he would be down to mate with an alien.
Why do we call it mating? I don't like it.
Chappelle,
like,
would you mate with an alien?
No. What? Are you kidding me? No, I don't live in my van and you cannot put me in a box. I'm
to
not
make a new species of like part human, part alien.
Am I part human as well? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I like? No, I don't want any parts of this. I think I'm mostly human.
I think you're a whole human being.
I thought so. Something like that. I don't need to bring in any like weird, semi-human speeches.
It could be like the first Cronut. Like half human, half alien.
I just think it is so interesting that Nick thinks another species would be like interested enough to want to mate with him.
Okay.
Yeah. He's direct and straightforward with sex. And sometimes he has sex so long he doesn't even sleep. So whatever alien that is will have a great time, I'm
Chappelle,
sure.
You say that you almost never sleep, too.
I do almost never sleep. That is the case. But it's not because I'm having sex for so long. It's because I probably have some type of disorder.
That, like, the Nick thing, that leads me to believe that he's in the situation where it's like you take the Viagra and it's been the, you're supposed to call a hospital if you're still going at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hours. If you're still going at that point. Yeah, if you still have that going on, you just kind of have to keep, just push through, you know, just sex until you can't sleep anymore. You know, you're going to the hospital when you're done, so you might as well get your feel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about James. James is another interesting character that we have here. Now, Kirsten, James says that he needs 2 shots of orange juice and then he's ready to go. Is this a low blood sugar situation?
Oh, see, I was thinking that maybe it was like an allusion to something I'm not cool enough to know about. And I was hoping Chappelle could help us.
No, no, this ain't black people shit. He just likes OJ. You know,
I didn't think it was black people shit.
No, no, no. It's fine. I can weigh in. No, he just he wants 2 shots of orange juice because he's just that kind of guy. He needs his vitamin C. And okay. He's from Hawaii. So, I mean, I think that makes sense. I feel like Hawaiians like their vitamin C.
Mm-hmm. He says that he offers the vacation penis package VPP. To people in Hawaii, which I think someone in season 3 also said this, where they live in Hawaii and they just like sleep with the locals. I think this is like a copy paste.
Tour guide or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that was the guy who played the guitar. I think that, but so Kirsten, my interpretation of vacation penis package is that he gets people in the continental United States, that he recruits women to come to Hawaii and then that they get to have the vacation package.
Not package. Like, package. No, like, I don't think I'm he's recruiting people to travel. I think he's finding the people that are already traveling there. And
that makes sense. That makes sense.
No, yes. No, it does sound like he's doing like timeshare presentations where you have to sit through and you hear about all the packages. And then when you get to the vacation penis package, they're like, no, go on.
Yeah.
And then, that's how he ends up getting them.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right of that. He meets people that are on vacation. Mm-hmm. They get the VPP. Then as opposed to, but like, I don't think he's meeting like local Hawaiian people.
No, I don't think they're interested.
It's not vacation
then.
Nobody's on vacation.
James says, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think I'm the best in bed, like in the world. He thinks nobody is better at sex than him.
The best.
The goat, Chappelle?
He thinks he's the goat.
He thinks he's the goat. Rob, you down with VPP?
You know me. I mean,
I do.
Mm-hmm. And so the answer is no. He's not.
Absolutely not. Yeah. James is another one who is instantly smitten by Kayla. He walks up. She says, I like tall, dark, and handsome. He's like, come here. Like instantly, just like drags her over before he even introduces himself. Good. I'm telling you, it's something about her that she's got this magnetism.
But then he doesn't even pop the champagne at the other table and offer a drink. Horrible manners.
Mistake. Mm-hmm. Such a rookie mistake. He's like, yeah, anybody want champagne? Pours his own and just leaves Kayla standing there. Like, sir, you fumbled the bag that quickly.
Well,
5 minutes into the show.
He already had the 2 shots of orange juice. He needed to get the champagne into his stomach to make the mimosa, okay?
And yet he didn't open the champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a mistake.
Yeah. Huge mistake. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think, based on the end of the episode, I think James might be the one who ultimately is like the accountant.
Yes.
Who's like, oh, no, everyone needs to follow the rules. We need money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blah. He gets really like competitive. That's one thing that he makes sure he talks about is like he doesn't like to lose. And when they start talking about the rules of the game, he does not seem like he's going to have any tolerance from anybody breaking the rules. But we'll get to that later, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Jawa here who comes in and, that unfortunately, I feel like that she's just, I feel bad for her because she has a lot of hopes and dreams. And I feel like that Kayla is just ruining everything for her.
Jawa here is so beautiful. She's from Amsterdam. And the voiceover says, where's she going to put her 2 lips? Which is one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Lana. She was like, I wonder where she's going to plant her 2 lips.
No, it wasn't Lana. It was
the host.
Whoever that lady is.
Desiree, yes. I always forget her name between seasons.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I remember Desiree.
But she does great work. She did an episode of Why Won't You Date Me with Nicole Byer, and it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jawahir is into Michael B. Jordan. And this is why she's having her big conflict this season, because she feels like James and another guy are very similar to Michael B. Jordan. James specifically, he says like he got a good smile like Michael B. Jordan. And like I said, and he's dark and handsome. So that's what she's going for. But like her Michael B. Jordan has eyes for somebody else already. And so she's up in for an uphill battle, probably. Mm-hmm. And she also says she likes Bad Boys and that her ancestors are looking down on her in disgust. And I kind of appreciate that kind of self-awareness.
If your ancestors aren't looking down at you in disgust, you're doing something wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. I am my ancestors' worst nightmare. Trust me.
But yes, she's absolutely beautiful. I've got my eye on Jawi here.
Me too.
Then comes
he is stunning.
Seb, who is from Glasgow in the UK. Mm-hmm. He already was on like thin ice just because of his name for me, but then his personality also.
Personally, I didn't need to see this man's butt.
None of us did, but yeah, we all did.
He said it's like a woman's butt, and that was why he went to show it to people.
But then when I saw it, it was not. It was not like a woman's butt.
He was literally in his confessional like, hey, production, anyone, does anyone want to touch my butt? Someone touch my butt? No, stop it. I've had enough. He is so scary. Apparently, he's a race car driver.
Yeah.
He says he used to be ugly, so he had to have the chat.
Chappelle, he says he's a race car driver that doesn't always come first. And I'm like, well, he's probably a terrible race car
really
driver.
Bad race car driver.
I think it's when he's in
Formula One anytime soon, Drive to Survive.
I think it's when he's in the race car bed that he doesn't want to come first.
Yeah. Why is he in a race car bed? Dear God, you know, like we don't need this.
He says he's a clown.
He is. You know, like y'all said, he talked a lot about his ass. And, you know, he says it's like a woman's ass. And so to that, I was like, I mean, if it's like a woman's ass, I'd see it if he's going to show. But then he showed it and I was like, it was like a jump scare. It's not like a woman's ass at all. And I didn't need that.
Everything about Seb was a jump scare. He said he's completed Scotland. So this shark is headed for international waters. And then they started playing like the Jaws music. And I was like, yes, it is like Jaws. I am terrified of this man.
Oh, so it's like Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too hot to handle is like Jaws. Mm-hmm. Where, you know,
things are jumping out at every turn.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Yeah. And then, you know, him being a race car driver is also kind of like, you know, I mean, we've learned our lesson with race car drivers in the past. I don't know if anybody watched Downton Abbey here, but I want to stay away from people who, you know, that's not really my thing. Not to spoil the show.
Listen, Downton Abbey, the race car drivers, sometimes they win your heart and then are too busy to be in any of the movies, even though they're your husband.
Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like you should date a race car driver after your actual husband dies. You know what? Never mind. It's not even.
Yeah, you know what? You were right. You know, you were very right.
Wrong show.
I'd love to talk Downton Abbey with you, Chappelle.
I have opinions. I have thoughts.
Okay.
Seb also has collarbone tattoos and it's a laurel wreath, like Greek god-esque for him. It's a technically well done tattoo.
Oh, okay.
But I would say it is in the category of bad tattoos.
Okay. We meet Sophie, who she really does not have a lot of airtime either. She says she's a perfect combination between girly and grubby. Yes. She's maybe the poor person's Chloe in this season.
Who's maybe Chloe? Everyone says she looks like Kate Middleton, which she, I mean, is a white brunette from England. So sure. She talks about how she had a pony as a child. So she's good with a riding crop, which I think I don't want to hear about your childhood and then about your skill with a crop. That's my personal opinion. She doesn't like small talk. She doesn't want people to still be there the next morning. And she basically talks about how she like looks down and then up through her eyelid. I'm like, okay, girl, you do doe eyes. We all have TikTok. We know what you're doing. We know. Stop it.
Yeah. And she's from Britain, but spelled the wrong way, you know? So not like our Britain, but you know, the other Britain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And she's from Brighton specifically, which is like a pretty cute community.
Brighton or Britain?
Both.
Brighton, which is in Britain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Nigel. Okay. All right. Finally, some main character energy back here with Nigel.
My note says, okay, Nigel, come through with the smile. He says his dream girl is just him with the wig, which I like. Chappelle,
what do you think about that?
I don't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I completely wiped that from my memory.
I think my nightmare would be me in a wig.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty much the same. I don't think me with a wig is attractive at all, but maybe that's different for him. You know, listen, I'm not going to yuck his yum. Yeah, with a wig.
He says he is from 9 to 5, he's business Nigel. And then from 5 to 9, he's naughty Nigel. I've had enough with these 5 to 9s after your 9 to 5 or before your 9 to 5. It's enough. Stop it.
Why are you only naughty until 9 o'clock? Chappelle O'Clock doesn't even start till 11:30. Like, what's going on? Yeah,
5 to 9. He's naughty till 9, but then he goes straight to bed.
Well, maybe is it 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. is he naughty Nigel? Is it like a 16 hour? Yeah.
That's a long shift.
Yeah.
So he's always doing business or being naughty. He has no downtime.
Maybe it's sort of like, an intermittent fast where it's like he's on like an 8:16 in terms of like naughty versus non-naughty.
I do think he probably intermittent fasts.
It makes sense because he thinks about sex every 5 seconds of the day. So it's like 1, 2, 3 missionary. And that's his fast. You know, that 1, 2, 3, that's the fasting. And then he thinks about sex again.
He literally goes 1, 2, 3, 4 missionary. And then less than 5 seconds later goes back shot just out of nowhere. And I was like, why is this happening?
I wasn't ready for that. I guess nobody is. I guess
nobody's ready for that. Yeah. No one's ready for the naughty Nigel except for Jawa here. She's like, oh, look, he looks kind of like Michael B. Jordan. This is the guy. And he's like, but Kayla. And very quickly, we've lost another one.
Nigel is the most attractive man on the show. But then he sprays everyone with champagne, which I just I'm not on board with. I just think you drink the champagne. Don't waste it like that.
Yeah, you know how sticky it gets. Mm-hmm. It gets sticky.
Yeah, they were outside.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't like it.
All right. We ready for Mario Lopez? He comes in. Nigel says he watches Saved by the Bell every day. Chappelle, you buying that?
No.
That must not be during naughty Nigel time.
He maybe used to watch it every day.
He said every morning.
Yeah, how old is this guy? Like I don't think he grew up with Saved by the Bell and syndication every morning. I just don't think that this is the age range for that.
Well, yeah, how old is Nigel?
Yeah, maybe he had the DVD box set or something like that. Maybe. He seems like he's around that age.
Yeah.
Nigel's so Nigel's 29, and so he actually probably was around because I grew up with it in syndication and it was on every morning before school. Mm-hmm. So I might believe him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We find out who do the guys like. Everybody likes Kayla. The only person that doesn't vote Kayla is Nick. He's into Jawa here, but I don't think we ever see him talk to Jawa during the entire show either.
He literally sits on the beat. Like, there's the one scene where, because, spoiler alert, Nigel is the one who gets Kayla. And Seb decides that his second choice is Jawa here. And Nick is just meditating and never took his shot with her, even though he liked her first.
Okay. Yeah. In his mind, though.
Another thing, too, with these shows is, like, Gen Z has really made showing your toes uncool. So all these men are in sneakers at the beach, and I hate it so much.
Yeah. I didn't know this. I wear socks on the beach. I just really hate for my feet to have sand on them in general. Mm. I bring my sneakers to the beach because, have you seen my sneakers? Everyone else needs to. And so,
don't want them to get dirty.
Yeah, I don't wear them. I just like bring them, you know, like you need to see that they were at the beach so for the pictures and stuff, but you do not let them get dirty. Absolutely not.
Socks on the beach is unhinged
about. But
that's easiest. I can wash the socks, you know, and not have to like worry about my feet being all like sandy.
So, Kirsten, Gen Z says no, they don't want to see your toes.
Don't show your toes. On Love Island USA this past season, there was a guy wearing socks and sandals. And everyone was like, it's so embarrassing that he's wearing sandals, but at least he's wearing socks. That was the perspective. And I was
I like this.
I was like, I'm old because I wear sandals.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have the dogs out.
Yeah. Well, I found out, Kirsten, did you know Rob is a never nude from the ankle down? Like, he always wears
almost
shoes.
Like, he wears socks to sleep?
No, he wears socks to sleep.
He's never barefoot on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Ever? Is it cold in your studio?
I mean, it can be. I would say that, I don't want to say never, but I would say that of the thousands and thousands of podcasts, that's probably single digit podcasts that I might have done without shoes on.
Well, then that's basically
at least without socks on. Yeah.
Like I've never, wow. I don't think I'm ever wearing socks. Currently, not even wearing socks on the podcast. Like I like to really like get grounded in when I'm talking about these shows.
Yeah, my feet grass.
I live in a basement suite, so my feet get really cold. But I have slippers on. They're really cute. Yeah. They look like cats.
Oh,
okay. They do look like cats.
Okay. Yeah. For the women. It's a little bit different. You know, we see some talk about Britain likes James and Jawa likes Nigel.
Yeah. And she would push a girl down the stairs to get to him. You know, she's willing to assault somebody to make sure that she gets to Nigel, which she might have to because Nigel likes Kayla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is where Desiree says the season's going to be like a sexy game of Clue, and it's going to be Jawa here, in the staircase.
Yeah, I feel like it was very similar to the roll call game of Clue I played a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I don't think that game has a set of stairs as a murder weapon.
Well, yeah, the stairs lead to the secret passage, but you can't kill somebody on the stairs.
Yeah. We also, so here's the thing that really got me. The girls are talking and Sophie goes, what's the weirdest place you've ever had sex?
Yeah.
And Britain says she has had sex on the roof of a Catholic school. And I'm like, girl, that is literally a criminal offense. You should not be allowed within like 100 feet of schools or children or parks.
Or churches, you know.
Oh, Catholic interesting. School,
Catholics as well.
I don't think we have to worry about her going into a church. She might.
See, I didn't think of it like that. Do you feel like because maybe the school was in session? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it matters if it's in session or not. I think if you do like a sexual crime near a school, you just like they throw the law at you.
Yeah, oh, that's so interesting.
Well, I mean, she was on top of the Catholic school. I mean, the fact that she even got up there might have been a trespassing charge anyway. Mm-hmm. But the fact that then she got down and busy up there, you know, and it's like, ma'am, people are going to call the police. And then by people, I mean me, you know, like I'm going to make sure that you never see the light of day again if you keep this up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of these people maybe should never see the light of day again.
Yeah,
should arrest them all until we figure something out.
She has an addiction, Kirsten.
Oh, she does.
That is true.
She should be kind. You know.
She does not seem to take addiction seriously as an issue. So that's a problem.
Maybe therapy. Yeah, corrective therapy. Yeah, instead of prison. You know, I take it back. We don't need to arrest her. We just need to get her help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just need to get her help. So James is the first one to talk to Kayla. And she's just like, oh, it's too early to want anyone in particular. And he's like, well, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, thanks, but there's so other people. Awkward. Yeah, yeah. He comes on too strong, and it makes her nervous a little bit.
And he also, like, if he had given her champagne when he first pulled her, when she first walked in, I think that maybe there would be a chance. But I think that he showed his whole ass there, not like Seb, and it didn't work.
Yeah, he just fumbled. I'm telling you, it's right there. Like, he got too into himself. There was, like, a moment. And I think he thought, like, okay, well, I'm the obvious choice for Kayla. But he had no clue that everyone was going to be so into her. So that one mistake might be, like, dire.
Nigel's in his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, there's a bit of a love square going on here. Jawa here. She has the hots for Nigel. Yes. But Nigel, he is thinking about Kayla. Nigel, again, Kirsten, I think his favorite word is naughty. He's talking about how it's time for naughty Nigel to come out. He's going to start making naughty Nigel moves towards Kayla.
He's like, I'm so naughty. I'm a bad boy. And I'm like, you're disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I guess like all that Saved by the Bell. Zach Morris taught him everything he knows.
It is very 90s.
Yeah.
But yes. Okay. So here's the situation. So James, Creed, Nigel, and Seb all want Kayla.
Mm-hmm.
Jawa here wants Nigel.
And
Kayla and Nigel get along. Mm-hmm. Nick wants Jawa here.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not Kayla or Jawa here, you are irrelevant to the show as a woman at this point in time. And honestly, if you're not Nigel, you're kind of irrelevant.
So here comes Creed, speaking of irrelevant. And so he goes to Kayla. And Kirsten, this was, pretty shrewd move on Kayla's part. On Creed's part.
Creed is like, oh, Pinky promise me that you'll consider me. And Kayla says, I pinky promise that I will not rule you out because she wants to keep her options open. And he is like, this pinky promise is a legally binding document.
We're basically
she cannot
married.
Choose anybody else. She has to keep me in her options. Ha 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 ha. And Kayla's like, yeah, I don't think that really means anything. Which like pinky promises do, I think, mean something and are very important. But you have to have clear terms. He did not have clear terms, and that is his fault.
Yeah, but I do think you have to go in and try to lock in the final two if you can. You know, even if it's not a real one, you don't know what's coming up next. So at least you can always double back to the pinky promise that you made on night one in case, you know, eliminations come up anytime soon. So I'm happy he made the move. And even just going to her knowing, like, I think he got the vibe pretty quickly that she's not really that into him, but she was still open to talking about it. So it's like, if someone's going to get cut by Kayla, it might not be Creed because he went the extra mile to get that pinky promise.
Should he have named the alliance?
He should have named the alliance. Yeah.
They're Krayla?
Yeah, Krayla. Krayla.
Okay. So she goes right from that conversation based on what we see into the pool with Nigel.
Yes, and Nigel says he wants to show the boys some dominance and show them who the top dog is. And he literally is just like, you're beautiful. What's your sign?
Yes.
And we find out we have a Libra-Scorpio combination
okay,
here.
How is that, Kirsten?
I don't know that much about this combination, but Scorpios are very intense. Mm-hmm. When they pick you, they pick you. And also they're Satan. So yeah. He's trouble. He is trouble.
Naughty
when she
Nigel.
Calls him dangerous,
confirmed.
She is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's like already the sexual tension there. And mm-hmm. they are the first ones to kiss. And everyone is seething because remember, everybody wants Kayla.
Yeah. Creed, James, and Seb are sitting 2 feet away from the pool watching this whole thing happen. And so when the kiss happens, they're all just like, oh man, like it's
this
over.
Was a power move from Nigel.
Yeah.
She really was. Showed them who the top dog is.
Well, that was the thing. Seb was making his way to the pool and Nigel just kind of slid into the water before him and got to Kayla first. Like this could have like been a sliding door situation where Seb could have been the one in there being a dangerous Scorpio, but
no.
He just didn't make it. Maybe he's going to show her his ass.
He sure does that whole ass.
Fall in love.
Seb will continue to show his whole ass all season is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it once. I don't need to see it again. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, but bye. Don't worry, Seb pivots because he goes down to the beach with Jawa here and they have a conversation that is, it doesn't make any sense to me how it works, but they end up kissing. So, but
this is good. I'm telling you, it's the move because he's realizing this is a game and there's money at the end and you can't get eliminated. Look, Kayla's already kissing somebody else. Boom, I need to pivot. I need to go to somebody who is not wanted. And you can tell that Jawa here likes Nigel. And if Jawa here likes Nigel and Nigel's over there kissing somebody, she's going to be open to other conversations. So Seb, he moved very quickly. Not a fan of him that much, but I did like the attention to the fact that this is a game show. This is not a competition for love.
Yeah. Kayla did tell Jawahir about that she had kissed Nigel, that it was well known. Jawahir had a thing for Nigel, and she told Jawahir what happened and followed up with a, don't hate me.
Oh, yeah. The delivery was perfect.
The thing is it's like none of you know each other. So, maybe she hates you, maybe she doesn't. It's fine.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where you know Jawa here has just been going on and on about Nigel this entire time. Like, oh my God, Nigel, 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 Nigel. And then Kayla sees this opening to have this kiss with him. She does it. She's like, okay, I have to get in front of it. Again, this is like, there's some good strategy going on here. So she's like, I have to get in front of it. She goes in with the old compliment sandwich type thing. Like, oh, you know, your hair, it looks really, really nice. You know, like, girl, look at you. You're glowing. Also, I kissed your man, but please don't hate me. I love you so much. You're my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't know that Jawa here is willing to push people down the stairs for what she like wants. So she might be in danger. Just willing to say that right now. She might be in danger.
Yeah. All right. So they have to go get dressed to go change, to go get out of the villa for a little bit. And so they get these jumpsuits. Kirsten, I think that my first thought is like, are we on the challenge?
Yeah, it was very, very strange. Everyone is very concerned this whole episode about what the first challenge could be. At one point, Sophie's like, maybe it's about like a climax to get the adrenaline. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. like everybody settle down. Yeah. Like you don't need to be so horny on Maine.
Mm-hmm. Who the hell is Sophie? We have not said this woman's name since the first introduction.
She was throughout this episode making little comments.
Okay. Well, we do like that person in the season normally. We like the peanut gallery that's making all the jokes. I forget who it was last season, but I did love her.
I have her in my notes 5 times this episode, her name.
I got nothing.
Not nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. But yes, so they all put on their flight suits and they're all very afraid of heights. Sophie thinks it will be skydiving. Nigel says that naughty Nigel's got this. Desiree says that they're going to be joining the Mile Dry Club soon, which Ayo. I did get a laugh at.
That was the name of the episode.
Mile Dry
Club.
As if I'm going to know the name of the episode. Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm only a professional romp. And James does not want to jump out of a plane. But don't worry, they don't have to even get in the plane because Lana pulls up to the runway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is...
Creed calls Lana a bitch. I just don't think he should be using that word.
Mm-hmm. It's not nice to say about Lana, but Lana is an air freshener, so I don't think, it's off the table. I just didn't like how
easily it rolled off his tongue. It seemed like a word he uses a lot.
Yeah, we don't love that. Mario Lopez was going to lend them his private jet to jump out of. Like, this was his own plane. Do we believe that this is Mario Lopez's actual jet?
No, I don't think so.
So.
He doesn't have jet money.
He might have jet money because the moment Lana comes out, he pieces out and we never see Mario Lopez again and we won't see him again. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he got on the plane and flew away.
Oh, he does have a private jet.
Mario Lopez is a private jet?
Yeah. He's
super rich and he needs to go from reality show to reality show hosting things. And so I'm sure he has one.
I mean, his private jet looks pretty small. So mm-hmm. I don't think that was his private jet.
This was a smaller one. He has a smaller one than the one that was mm-hmm. on the show.
And the show wasn't that big as far as mm-hmm. jets go. So
maybe he's not compensating for anything. All right, you know,
jet sizes here on this podcast.
Yeah, it's not the size of the jet. It's the mm-hmm. motion.
It's the power of the engines.
Yeah, that.
The turbulence. Creed's reaction is that he's upset that he didn't even get to pleasure himself to say goodbye.
I think that's a reasonable response. You about to go into celibacy very quickly, mm-hmm. or abstinence at the very least, and you know, for a price. I think that you might, and we've talked about this before, the first episode of Too Hot to Handle, if you have any inkling that you're on this show, you really need to be breaking the rules right now, because everything that happens after that, it's going to be counted against you. Like they joke about an orgy on the show, but I mean, honestly, if they have one on the first episode, I think they'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always that, Lana, I need 9 hours to gather data. For what?
Yeah, what data?
What data?
She's not gathering any data.
She needs to know who's horny is so she can tempt them the most. Duh.
She doesn't tempt them.
I think that Rob might actually hate this show and it just hurts.
It does. What I do hate is the lies.
The lies. Since when?
Yeah.
Seb is worried that his hips are going to seize up because he will not be doing any pumping.
I mean, Seb, there are exercises you can do to stay limber and like.
He could just like do some hip thrusts.
Yeah, he can do Pilates or something. Yeah.
He'd be okay. I don't know why. I guess there's only one reason why he would be pumping and it's sexual.
Yeah, the person who should be most disappointed here is Kayla, because she planned on kissing everybody to kind of figure out where she wanted to go. She's only managed to kiss one person, and we know at least 4 guys want to kiss her. So, you know, it's not great for her, and I feel like she might struggle in this moment.
I think she's still just going to kiss everybody, and they're going to be like, it's fine, it's Kayla. She can break the rules because they want her to break the rules with them.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really interesting if Kayla got eliminated early, because then it would force all the rest of the guys to actually look elsewhere.
Scramble.
But I feel like it's going to be a matter of everybody liking Kayla and slowly getting eliminated because she only has eyes for like Nigel or something.
It would open the field up for sure if she went home. Nigel says naughty Nigel doesn't listen to the rules, and that's what makes him naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I don't know if that's going to work out for him, because James is not having it. When they announced that there's going to be a $200,000 prize for anybody who like makes it to the end or whatever, or potentially if they're able to keep their hands off of each other,
yeah.
then he's a college student. He's broke. He needs the money and he does not like to lose. And so I think he's going to be the warden yeah. of the season.
But that's not how you win the show. That's not how you get the money. Yeah.
He's not going to get any money because of his philosophy towards the money. Yeah. And so that's just a strategical error from him.
Okay. So here we are through the first episode of Too Hot to Handle season 4. Kirsten, is there enough new here to keep the Too Hot to Handle audience interested in watching this play out for the fourth time?
I don't think you need new because they're going to make new and exciting rule breaks and we're all going to get into it. And then at the end of the season, it's going to be boring again. And then guess what? We'll be back for season 5, baby.
Mm-hmm. Back, baby. You know, this cast for me, a little underwhelming. I think in the past, we've had people who were very much, I don't want to call them deviants, but we knew that they were going to break the rules instantly. I don't really know who our rule breakers are going to be here. Like, are people just going to be pleasuring themselves? I mean, and Kayla, but...
We just don't know them that well because there is such an obsession with Kayla. So I think, give it a couple more episodes. I think it'll come around.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. Better not.
It depends how much money you want. But anyway, back in the day, I remember the days of Melinda, you know, is now, you know, very famous for her current relationship as well. But she was on day one really talking about like, I'm ready to have sex right now. Like, I cannot wait until this show is over. She wanted to have sex with the guy who ends up winning the entire season. And she does it, but it's like very apparent that they just snatched it away from her. And so she has to struggle with that throughout the season. I don't know if we have any of that energy from anybody in this episode, but again, it was the Kayla show. We really didn't learn anything about anybody else. What is Dominique even thinking? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Dominique is not on the show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Kirsten, can you remind us, how do you win Too Hot to Handle?
So it's different every season, but at the last couple of seasons, they've done a jury vote at the end where the people that don't win vote between like two or three people who they think has grown the most and deserves to win the money. Mm-hmm. The first season, everyone shared the pool at the end, but they haven't done that since season one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll be keeping a close eye on how much money people lose for different things to try and work out the system. And we'll keep watching.
That's my favorite thing about the show. It's kind of just trying to figure out, okay, well, which infraction is worth the most and is it consistent? You know, because we've seen in the past that it's not consistent at all. And that some people will lose a lot of money for doing very small things. And then other people will get away with like, you know, murder and end up winning the show. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really interested in that as well. I don't even remember who won last season, Kirsten. Do you?
I literally, if you asked me any question about Todd Handel season 3, I don't perceive it. Are you sure I covered it? Like,
yes.
I think you did.
For sure. Okay. I'm looking. I'm definitely looking.
Yeah. Rob's like, oh no, you did. I promise. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of them.
Nathan and Holly dated. Who the hell are they?
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the winners.
Yeah.
Did they win?
No, they did not win.
Who won? Okay, I'm looking at the Wikipedia.
Is this a quiz, Chappelle, or are you generally are interested?
I literally did not watch the last
episode. Oh, yeah. The winners were Bo and Harry, which were like the UK couple. And then on their plane back to England, they like made a big scene and I think got banned from the airline because they were about to have sex on the plane.
Yeah, I remember the tweet. I remember seeing that tweeted out. Okay, yeah, there it is. It's all flooding back into my memory now. Yeah. And yeah, again, another group of people that probably should be arrested.
Would you believe there was someone named
Need a Private Jet
Olga
yes.
on Too Hot to Handle season 3?
Yeah.
Was she the house mother?
No.
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 Okay. She was four. Can you talk us through what is your plan to cover the rest of Too Hot to Handle?
Yes, yeah, so I am going to have a couple of panels to do the rest of the season. I will be breaking down the rest of this first batch of episodes, probably recording on Thursday. And then when the second batch comes out on December 14th, I'll do two different podcasts with a couple of different surprise guests, and it'll be super fun.
Okay. All right. For more Too Hot to Handle, make sure you're following the Hot Dummies on Islands. I think go to robinswebsite.com/hotdummies.
That's right.
D-U-M-M-I-E-S. And then go ahead and see what's going to happen the rest of Too Hot to Handle. Chappelle, we once again are faced with the challenge. What are we going to talk about next week on Nothing But Netflix?
You know, I love this game. I love trying to figure out what's coming up next. I've been, you know, looking at what the listeners have been saying. We've got some suggestions. But one of the standouts, I think, right now is the number one movie in the USA today. I don't know if it will still be the number one movie on Netflix in the USA after this week. But currently, it's called Troll. And it seems like it is utterly ridiculous. And so if that is number one, I think we should talk about it.
Yeah, this is a genre that we love. Terrible movie on Netflix. It is suspenseful, exciting, and a fantasy movie with an explosion in the Norwegian mountains awakens an ancient troll. Officials appoint a fearless paleontologist to stop it from wreaking deadly havoc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Are there any people, like, do we know any of the people in the cast, or is this just like a completely like created for Netflix by Netflix with Netflix actors, bad movie?
Is it nobody that I know? Yes.
Can I make a suggestion instead of this troll movie?
Mm-hmm. Go on.
It's still in the top 10. It's not number one, but a series called Snack versus Chef came out this week.
Yes.
And it's where it's a cooking show where they have to try and recreate like a snack they would buy at the grocery store. And then they make their own thing after. So, like the first episode, they have to try and make Flamin' Hot Cheetos. There's an episode with Kit Kat, Ho-Hos, Pringles, Gushers. And I think that could be very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your co-host Sasha is a big Flaming Hot Cheetos gal. Like, she's a ratchet. Yeah. I'm sure she's already watched that episode. But, you know, Kirsten, it's very like, it's almost kind of like the Easy Bake Battle thing that we've done, you know. And I think
But those episodes are always fun. I don't know. I feel like when it's a movie, I'm probably never going to watch the movie to listen to you talk about it. Mm. But when it's a little reality show,
encourage
Rob
people
is
not
more,
to watch the movie. Like,
Rob is more likely to get angry when it's a cooking reality show, which is always good content. I know Rob doesn't like to talk about food, but it's always fun when you do. I love when it's like a never food and an always food talking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just think it's a fun dynamic.
I do wonder if anybody has seen that show, maybe if they have some feedback, if it would be a good podcast or a bad podcast. We both famously hated the Easy Bake Battle so much. And
well,
it was
they
one of the best episodes. Yeah.
That's you. You hate lying.
I hate lies. I hate when the shows lie. That's really, you know, I think that really we've reached sort of like a big thing that gets me upset. When the shows lie, I get very upset.
And people like when you get upset on the podcast, Rob.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. That's why people listen to Renap so much.
Well, nothing makes me more mad than Renap. So,
well, because you get lied to constantly.
The lies. It's really the lies. Yeah.
As a listener, I can relate. I too get lied to on Renap.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like I said, there's a few things on Netflix, but I really think the standout is the troll. If people want to hear about us talk about the snack show, of course, we'll take that in consideration and talk about that. If it's like got a lot of push from the audience and the listeners. So let us know what you want us to talk about.
A lot of holiday stuff still on Netflix as well. If something pops there, I think we can also go back to that well if we need to.
Rob, Big Brother 10 is on Netflix.
Ooh, you could just cover that.
Yeah. Cover that? What would be the pitch for? Don't make me watch all of Big Brother 10.
Just watch the premiere and then talk about the whole season.
Yeah, I was going to say just watch the premiere and then watch all the episodes and then we do some live feed coverage. Like, Rob, it's this new format that you really could try moving forward in Big Brother proper. But I think you should have Taryn on the live feed updates. You know, give Puya like his own day as well. You know, it's a whole thing. But because it's Big Brother 10, there's so many iconic moments. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's right there, and I'm going to watch it.
You should just talk about the Keisha's birthday.
Yeah.
Call on them on. Do Keisha's birthday coverage. You know, there's stuff there.
I really Lavina's do feel around. you know, as we're going into the like Survivor off season, like I wouldn't want to do it like here in December, but I feel like you could do it like week by week. It's like, okay, we're going to talk about like the first eviction, the second eviction, like do it basically like from like the, you know, go eviction episode to eviction episode.
Yeah, I'd be robbed that. Listen, this is your baby. You're the big brother guy. So if you want to cover it, I'm always down. But I'm sure everyone else would be too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's another good standout on Netflix. But again, if you're listening to this and you have suggestions, tweet us at nothingbutRHAP and let us know what you want to hear us talk about. And then we'll try to work it into the schedule. And then if you see something coming up soon, put it on our radar. We love when we get those suggestions and those trailers, so then we can start planning what we're going to do next.
All right, Kirsten, what's coming up for you?
Mess Magnets every week with myself and Sasha Joseph breaking down all of the mess. I think we scooped the Good Morning America scandal last week, which was awesome.
Yes.
Also over on BoJack HorsePod, Lindsay Wilson and I are continuing to break down Tuca and Birdie before we take a little break for the holiday season. And obviously talking to you about The Real Love Boat every week. And
Chappelle, have you kept up with The Real Love Boat?
No.
But have you kept up with the podcast?
No.
Oh my God. I'm leaving. I've got to go.
You've changed, Chappelle.
Listen, I'm a Joe Milley ganger from day one, but I have a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, so it's because I joined the podcast. You had to quit. I understand.
It's fine. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm going to catch up. I'm saving it for a binge.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are. And also,
you wouldn't believe what happened this week, Chappelle.
You wouldn't believe it.
If I have to binge it till I can be a guest next week, trust me, I will do it.
Okay. Don't threaten me with a good time. but yes, and you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, where this past Sunday I did a 12-hour stream. So there'll be a lot of VODs to go watch.
Okay. What'd you do for 12 hours?
Well, I haven't done it yet, but there's going to be a lot of games, a lot of fun, a lot of chatting.
Okay. All right. Incredible. All right, Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
I promise. Sasha Joseph and I are going to wrap up this season's coverage of Nothing.
Stop breadcrumbing us.
We are trying to get this last episode recorded. I swear we're going to do it one day. But yeah, check out Never Have I Ever by Solid Podcast to hopefully hear the end of season 3's coverage before we take our break until the summer when the season is finally, or season 4 finally comes back, the fourth and final season. So check that out. Never Have I Ever by Solid Podcast. And speaking of wrap-ups, we've done a lot of wrapping up over on post-show recaps, and so we're going to do something a little different coming up. We're going to have some like follow-up coverage to talk about the year in post-show recaps, a lot of the shows that we've been talking about. We're going to kind of backdoor and be like, hey, here's what we talked about. Remember these moments? You know, so we're going to do that. So I'll be probably reuniting with Julia very quickly to talk about Ben Blair, reuniting with Tanya and Mari to talk about Atlanta, reuniting with Jess, Josh, and AJ to talk about The Walking Dead. So check that out on post-show recaps. And then, of course, Rob, just hanging out with you, talking about whatever you want to talk about. Oh, and then there's me and Gio. We're still waiting on Abbott Elementary to release all the episodes so we can talk about the mid-season finale, which will come out next week. And so check out Abbott Elementary by Solid Podcast for my post-show recaps. I'm sorry if you're not, you know, to keep up with our coverage of that.
All right. Of course, had a great week on the Survivor podcast last week. Plenty more coming as we get to the end of this Survivor season from the RedCommonsWebsite.com. Thanks so much for joining us here on Nothing But Netflix. You can subscribe to our Nothing But Netflix podcast feed. You go to RobHasWebsite.com/Netflix feed. And, of course, follow our Twitter account. It is at Nothing But RHAP. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, have a good one. Bye.